is no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
Rise from your grave.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
You know, I'm not really sure what happens in the electric chair. Mm-mm. I'm not sure what those people go through. But it's anything like the pure energy that I experience when I drink Spring Heel Jack coffee. The energy that runs from the tips of my toes up to the top of my dying hair.
Henry,
makes me ready to seize the day. And if this is how a murderer of a family feels, or a man who has gone on some sort of like carjacking, shot a bunch of police, and now he's in a supermax prison awaiting his time with the shackles. And I'll have me a glass of Spring Heel Jack coffee.
I don't want to bust your bubble there, buddy, but that is decaffeinated coffee.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
That's a Saturday Night Live callback reference to 1993. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the last podcast on the left. I am Ben Kissel. I am staring at the beautiful face of Marcus Parks.
Hello.
And in sunny, gorgeous Los Angeles, we have the man whose hair is hanging on by a thread, Henry Zebrowski.
It is the thread that it is hanging on by.
I know it. Well, I am.
You could see them all hanging on. They're like a bunch of little refugees by the border. And I know that they will be going to heaven soon. Don't worry, Harris. You'll be going to a better place soon.
Yeah, just one big gust of wind and it's all going to be gone.
All of it.
Last night we had a great experience, Henry. You won't believe what happened. Marcus Parks joined me at a public bar.
Whoa.
And we watched the Texas Tech,
Red Raiders.
The Red Raiders play basketball. They're doing great. They're in the Elite Eight. And I don't want to be too brave on this episode, but Texas Tech, they say, get your guns up.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
Put your guns down.
Oh,
put your guns down.
Why?
Because that's more peaceful.
Respectfully treat your guns and other people. Have your guns, but be trained with your guns. Oh, so you guys were a couple of straights out there last night, huh?
We were, man. It was wonderful. Marcus had two beers.
Yeah, and a bunch of water.
And a lot of water. But man, we were getting wild.
I actually would like to take this opportunity to say, Marcus, Kissel and I have been talking, and we think that you have a problem. I think that your water habit has kind of gotten out of control.
A little out of control. Yeah,
I know.
I've been drinking a lot.
So you might wonder, why did Henry mention the electric chair? Well, that is because get your sizzle going. Today's episode, it's going to be very, very exciting. It's all about the electric chair.
Yeah.
So the idea for the electric chair was first conceived in 1881 by a dentist and former steamboat engineer named Alfred P. Southwick after he watched an old drunk named George Smith electrocute himself to death by accidentally touching a live generator in Buffalo, New York.
I gotta tell you, I seen a lot of things in my time tugging the boat. That's what you gotta do. I seen barnacles the size of my mother. I seen whales the size of my mother. But when I see that drunk man get electrocuted on that line, I say, I gotta see that again.
You know, there is nothing like having a dentist with the history of a steamboat captain. If I ever go to the dentist, I'm like, so what are your credentials? Well, I used to have a steamboat, and I would get hammered on that. So anyway, let me see those molars.
Now, although America was and still is pretty nutty for execution, the older methods such as hanging, beheading, or the firing squad were making Americans in the late 19th century feel a little icky for some reason.
Yeah, getting pussified. That's what they're doing, man. Whip crack, man. Holy shit.
New York specifically, a particularly gruesome public execution had just gone awry when a man's head had been torn from his body during a hanging due to the rope being too long. Ooh. So people were looking for a different, cleaner method.
I think that one person said we needed a different, cleaner method, and a bunch of everybody else was just going like, yeah, I guess so. I guess we do.
Mm-hmm. So when Southwick saw that just touching one of these new electric generators could instantly kill a man, he thought that he had the no-muss, no-fuss solution to everyone's problems.
Hell yeah!
The Billy Mays of murder. Dude, this guy is like, he's the
we
only...
We can bring someone in and we can electrocute a guy in 15 seconds flat.
So many other people would go home and be like, honey, I saw a person die today. I'm really, really struggling. This guy went home and was like, baby, we got a new industry.
I see the gap.
So taking it upon himself to figure it out, Southwick first invented a device for euthanizing stray dogs at the Buffalo SPCA, which, as far as euthanizing goes, electrocution was probably better than their old method of drowning dogs and literally hanging everything else.
And they got to drowning the dogs and hanging them. It started with hitting them with a hammer, and then before that, it was just taking a bunch of dogs in a big cart and just rolling it off the side of a crevasse into a gulch.
Oh, that is sad.
Just hitting them with a machine gun fire. There was that one. Just setting fire to the veterinary clinic. They used to just put all the dogs in it and then a couple of the bad orderlies and just burn the whole building to the ground.
Oh, my goodness. Leave the dogs alone. My God.
Yeah, when they had to euthanize a horse, they'd hang it.
It doesn't even make sense.
Honestly, what an impressive sight in a weird way. And I've seen hanging horses before. I was just in a place in Toronto where that's where the charcuterie comes from. They hang it up till it dries, and then you start slicing at the meat.
Wait, you ate horse meat in Toronto?
Yeah.
Jesus, man.
I had horse salami.
Ugh. You know, man, but what is wrong with just regular salami?
I think that the horse was named Salami.
Okay.
So after a year of successful experiments with animals, Southwick began publishing articles in scientific journals about using this method for the capital punishment of humans. Mm. And since Southwick was a dentist, he was most comfortable working with chairs. So the electric chair was born.
So his whole... So essentially, this is a podcaster's invention. He just said... He was like, oh, what do I do? Oh, okay, how do we do this? All right, do we do it in a shower? No. Someone else will do that later. Do we do this in a fucking, oh, an umbrella? Umbrella guy has an umbrella and he zaps him with an umbrella gun. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, what am I? I'm sitting in a chair.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the electric tub sounds more fun. And then at least you get one last bath before they murder you for a crime you didn't commit.
So after tinkering with the design a bit, Southwick paid a visit to his friend, New York Senator Jimmy McMillan. After seeing a demonstration, the senator thought the idea had legs, so we ran it up the flagpole to the governor.
I love how this is the Hudsucker proxy for murdering.
Yeah.
Where it's just them all super excited, being like, this is it. Oh yeah, buddy, that's the best pitch I've heard in years. And I tell you what, guitar music is also on its way out.
Yes. I do wonder, what was the display? Did they just put like a honey-baked ham that was raw in the chair?
No.
And then they were like, and now look at it. It's fully cooked.
No, they hooked a dog up to it.
Oh,
yeah, they just fucking killed a dog. They brought a dog. They brought a fucking Dalmatian into the governor's office. And it's just like, you ready to see something that's going to flip your wig? And he's just like, but wait a second. I went to the wig flippers yesterday and I had my wig flipped already. I don't need a second time this week. And he's like, no. You're going to check this out. And then they fucking killed a dog in his office by cooking it alive with electricity.
Jeez.
And he's just like, I'll take 95 million of them.
Good Lord. It's a strange time when he's like, now I'm guaranteed re-election.
So, an exploratory committee was formed to gauge just how useful and humane this newfangled method of electricity might be as opposed to the old ways. But in the meantime, the question remained, what type of electricity would be used?
Mm.
See, back then, America was still in the middle of what was called the Battle of the Currents, because electricity was still new. Two men, George Westinghouse, using Nikola Tesla's ideas, and Thomas Edison, had both come up with different ways of delivering electricity.
So fucking cool.
Yeah.
I wish I was alive for this part of history. Like, just going to see all these crazy demonstrations, all these weird science fairs.
Yeah, it would have been great.
They would have grabbed you and put you in the chair immediately. And just been like, let's execute the Polish.
Why don't we do this here? Hey, guys, how about, you know how you've been using that ham for the demonstrations?
Let me hold it in my hands and see if you kill me, it also cooks the ham.
So on the AC side, you had George Westinghouse representing Tesla's idea of alternating current. On the direct current side, you had Thomas Edison, who would once and for all prove what a cruel bastard he really was during this battle.
Mm.
You mean marketing expert.
He was that. He definitely was that.
And a big part of the Battle of the Currents that isn't talked about very much anymore is the fight over whose method would power the electric chair, or really, whose method wouldn't power the electric chair.
So they didn't. This is hot potato for murder.
Yeah,
they didn't. Neither of them wanted this. Okay.
See, DC didn't work very well when it came to powering cities and such. The big copper wires that it needed were just way too expensive.
Mm.
But AC power had already resulted in a few highly publicized accidental deaths. So Westinghouse was pretty keen on keeping himself disassociated from execution.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess if, yeah, it's like in the movie 13 Ghosts, one of those things where you try to explain that your house is powered by vicious poltergeists. And I mean, like, it's incredibly useful, but sometimes it does kill your daughter.
Yeah. I do like the idea of hitting a ghost to turn your TV on.
Oh, it's just Hitler. Every single time you stick your finger in his asshole. Ooh. As a ghost, he's like, oof, okay, I will turn up the volume, but just this once.
It's like Wolfenstein. I love that. You get to hit Hitler.
But in Edison's estimation, if he could convince the public that AC was just too dangerous to use, then Edison would win the current battle, and therefore the inferior technology would win, which happens all the time. Marketing puts the inferior technology over the top constantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the American dream, Marcus.
It is.
So in order to cheat the game, Edison hired a man named Harold Pitney Brown to launch a PR campaign, quote-unquote, proving that AC power was deadly technology, thereby influencing which current would be chosen to power the chair.
Hmm.
To kick off the whole campaign, Brown brought the press out to Edison's lab in West Orange, New Jersey. These reporters watched as small animal after small animal was lured out to a metal plate wired up to a 1,000-volt AC generator where the animal was zapped to death.
Damn, dude.
It's just some guy at the other go going, pss, 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 pss,
come here,
pss,
come here, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Come here, Potpourri. Come here, Potpourri.
And Potpourri's this kitten just like,
meow, meow, meow.
Just like super cute and stuff. And Edison's like, I can't wait to watch it explode.
Literally.
It's going to explode.
Our leaders of this nation were just the weirdest goth kids in eighth grade. It's
no,
unbelievable.
Dude, these are fucking metal kids. All of this is stuff like me and this dude named D that I first met when I moved to back to Tampa, when I moved from New York to Tampa when we were 13 years old. D was the first kid I met with. He had green hair, and he's like, you want to go do some experiments? And we went out to this field, and we just blew shit up.
Yeah.
Well, and it was fun as shit.
Yeah.
And we never once blew each other. I know what you're saying, Pistol.
I didn't say that.
I see the look in your eyes.
No.
I see it. You're dancing. Those experiments were just for science.
Okay, good. But you didn't kill any animals, so that's
no,
that's
because
all right.
We were not. I wasn't like that. I didn't like to blow up animals or anything like that. I know Marcus did, but that was just boys being boys back in the day.
Boys being boys.
No, there was a lot of land in Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's an excuse, but I'm going to say that's the excuse. There's a lot of land in Texas.
Well, that demonstration where they jolted animal after animal. Animal after animal, that was actually where the word electrocution was coined.
Hmm.
Oh.
But instead of reporting on the horrific and ultimately pointless parade of animal cruelty, the newspapermen took the bait and reported instead on the dangers of AC power.
Hmm.
It was right around this time that the exploratory committee, tasked with examining electrocution as an efficient method of execution as opposed to other new ideas, published a 95-page report dubbing electrocution as the clear winner.
Hmm. We have all decided as a committee that electrocution is the most badass, cool, motherfucking thing we've all seen. I love watching their knees jump up and down, and I love seeing their eyeballs explode, and I hope the same thing happens to the humans that we use in a chair.
Now, I don't want to interrupt the meeting here. It is really cool technology, but have we thought about not murdering our citizens? Have we thought maybe we could just do a different kind of penal justice? Maybe we could
I have found the first person for the chair.
Oh, no!
So, on May 8th, 1888, Senator Harry Cogleshell pushed the bill through the legislature, deeming that all capital offenses committed after January 1st, 1889 would thereafter be punished by electrocuting the guilty until death.
You know, Harry Cogleshell, you know he was super into pleasing a woman.
Oh, yeah. No, in no way was he like, it's not a wedgie if you give it to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So gross. These people really are demonic evil entities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, these are the people that built
the structure of this country.
Yeah. I know that.
But still, the question of AC versus DC when it came to power in the chair still hadn't been solved. And Harold Pitney Brown, the PR guy that Edison had hired, he was just getting started. He hosted another exhibition, but this time he shocked the dog with DC power first to show that it didn't quite kill it.
See, then, it didn't kill it. And then, it didn't kill it. Did I have to do this at all? No, of course not. But it didn't even kill it.
He's like, look, it just tortured the poor thing. But look what happens when I fill it with an AC shock. And then went, and the animal immediately died. And he's like,
See? See?
I don't want to be a negative Nancy here, but have we thought about not murdering the dog? It's actually a cute
second
it's a cute
person for the chair. I, Senator Conical Shell, will make sure I get as many people in this chair as humanly possible.
Then Brown took the show on the road. He went to multiple cities throughout New York State buying stray cats and dogs from children at a quarter a pop to use in his experiments in each town.
So this is basically like if Rob Zombie directed The Music Man. Is that right? Is that what we're talking about here?
But I will say, Salami the Horse that I ate, at least every bit of his sinews were used to please everyone. It wasn't just killing a bunch of dogs and cats. And then I guess just leaving them? What do you do with all of these dead dogs and cats?
It's a good day for the one dude who got into the business. They all laughed at him when he said dog recycling wasn't going to be a thing. And then he's like, look at all these dogs that need to be recycled.
And then he takes him to his dog recycling center, which is just his backyard. And there's a big pile of dead dogs. And he's out there fucking each one of them saying, I'll teach my wife to leave.
This is getting sad with all these. Why experiment on the dog? That's all I'm wondering. But anyway.
Because dogs are plentiful. And you could go to any town in New York State and there'd be plenty of stray dogs. And there were definitely plenty of street urchins that were willing to go out and hunt down dogs and cats for a quarter each. I mean, that's like $5 in today's money.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy. And now we're even saying these kids can't work. We're saying the kids can't work when obviously they can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after just electrocuting dogs and cats got a little dull, Brown started bringing a whole menagerie of animals on the road. He started electrocuting calves. He started electrocuting horses. He even once brought out an orangutan and killed it in a public demonstration, all at the behest of Thomas Edison.
Shit.
What the what? Okay.
Honestly, dude.
Edison was a bastard. Edison was a huge bastard.
This is how science used to be done. What I would love to see if Uber wanted to do the self-driving cars, it would be pretty incredible if they just replaced all the drivers that have to do it with orangutans. Like, they literally just have them taped to the fucking steering wheel.
We don't have scientists that take chances anymore.
Good Lord Almighty. Although, honestly, orangutan Uber was the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life, and I would get in that Uber every single time. That would be so fun if an orangutan was just like, welcome, and I'm like, hey, orangutan.
And it does, like, the sign language for, like, release me, please get rid of the tape.
Unfortunately, I don't know sign language.
Cry from your grave.
This podcast is brought to you by Devil May Cry 5, an over-the-top, action-filled game rated M for mature, now available on Xbox One. Ever need to just slice and dice some demons while looking hella nice? This is the game for you. It features three demon hunters, each with unique playstyles. But don't just take our word for it. Bleeding Cool calls it an elegant symphony of obliteration. Dual Shockers calls it one hell of a good time. And Game Rant calls Devil May Cry the perfect action game. So come on and kick some demon ass with Devil May Cry 5. And remember, games play best on Xbox One.
Cry from your grave.
Now, there is a strong myth that Edison electrocuted an elephant during this time. Mm. But that isn't strictly true. The execution of Topsy the Elephant happened in 1903, over a decade after the Battle of Currents was over.
Hmm.
And it wasn't Edison who electrocuted the elephant, because the electrocution of the elephant did, in fact, happen. The people who electrocuted the elephant were the good folk of Luna Park over in Coney Island, who executed Topsy after she killed a drunk who burnt her trunk with a lit cigar, in addition to two other people.
What are you talking about? Hold on a second. Hold on one second here. I don't want to naysay the scientists and everyone's trying to find ways to murder people and say it's civilized, but we have an elephant that just murdered three people. Death by elephant. Why couldn't... I love elephants. They're extremely brilliant.
They're great.
The answer is right there. Stop the electric chair. Why kill this thing? It's obviously the instrument that needs to be used to murder people if the state wants to sanction it.
honestly, what a fun way to do it. Like, yeah. You do it kind of Alexander the Great style, where you have the elephant, boom, 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 boom. And then the guy's running around a big pen going like, ah! And we just, like, try to get... But the problem is that elephants are naturally very nice.
Yes.
So the only way you can do it is that you gotta beat the elephant a bunch to make it hate people. Yes, and you gotta put them in a specific costume. Like, you gotta take the dude... Like, you beat the elephant with, like, an orange bag over your head, right? And you beat him, and beat him, and beat him so you don't know it. So the elephant gets super mad at guys with fucking orange bags in their head. And you put an orange bag on the dude that's run around thing, no matter what he did. And he should be doing something like, it should be like white collar crime.
Yeah, absolutely. But of course, as we learned from the Green Mile, inmates like mice. And what are elephants afraid of? Mice. So as soon as you take the mice out of your pocket. So now I'm actually going back on my idea.
Well, the original plan was to hang Topsy the elephant and charge admission, but the ASPCA stepped in and requested something more humane, so they strapped copper sandals to Topsy's feet, hooked that up to the local power plant, fed her carrots laced with cyanide, and pulled the switch on one gray December morn.
This is the definition of overkill.
Yeah, but the reason why Edison is so closely tied to this incident is because Edison sent out a film crew from the Edison Film Company to capture the whole thing for a quote-unquote documentary that was unimaginatively titled Electrocuting an Elephant.
That is literally...
Whoa, seriously? That's so funny. Yeah. It's like right on the nose. Electrocuting an elephant. I would go see that in a movie theater in a fucking second. I mean, I see it on the Live Leak all the time, so I guess I don't need to pay a ticket.
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube.
I don't think anyone should see it. I understand what happens.
And right below the name of the movie on the title card was the name of the man who owned the company that shot the film, Thomas Edison. And when you add that to the dozens of animals he really did electrocute, you can see where the myth comes from. But the thing was, even without the elephant, Edison and Brown's campaign against AC power worked, at least when it came to the chair.
Hmm.
In 1889, a government committee unanimously chose Westinghouse's AC power as the electricity of choice for execution.
Congratulations!
I mean, this is a huge government contract.
Yes.
So they got a lot of cash here.
It's not that big of a government contract.
Really?
Yeah, because it's only generators for like three prisons. And Westinghouse has his eye on the prize. He's wanting to power AC all over the world. Okay. And having the electric chair associated with AC, that's not the it's not the best association.
I understand.
Oh, yeah. It's like getting a huge part in a movie and it turns out it's called the Gavin McInnes story.
Or honestly, it's like getting cast in a movie called Human Centipede. Never working again. And I have said this before on this show. I am calling for the actors of Human Centipede to have a resurgence.
Please.
They were great in the movie.
They were awesome.
They did everything they were asked to do.
Well, Westinghouse refused to cooperate. When the order was placed by the state for the generators, Westinghouse said, fuck no, I'm not going to sell them to you, and you can't make me. So Thomas Edison stepped in and ordered the generators under a different name and had them sent to a university in Brazil, and then Edison had all the generators shipped right back up to the New York State prisons.
So who are those generators coming from? Oh, somebody named Carl Hungus?
I know, again, I'm supposed to take all of these lessons as Edison. What a cheap, horrible bastard. But it takes these kinds of decisions to become the most famous inventor in the world. I was watching the thing about the Theranos woman.
Oh, I did watch that.
You watch the thing the whole time and just being like, technically, she's living the American dream. She just didn't get the ball across the line.
No. Nope.
Well, it was a science that could never exist, which is the major problem. Henry, I don't want to say anything, but is Springheel Jack full of like evil? Because you are especially evil today.
Yeah, particularly evil, I'd say.
I don't know what it is about this story I find inspiring.
I don't know either.
Now, the first person set to be killed in the chair was an illiterate vegetable seller from Buffalo named William Kimmler, who had killed his wife with an axe.
Honestly, do we have to say that he was illiterate? He's just a vegetable seller.
But fucker had an axe. Also, he couldn't fucking read. What an idiot. Let's fry him up.
He was a vegetable salesperson.
But just after Kimmler was sentenced to death, this green grocer suddenly had one of the most expensive lawyers in the state, a man named W. Bork Cochran.
No, it's not. That's not his name. That's a pug.
W. You can Bork. Call me by my real name, Borky Cochran.
If your lawyer is named Bork, just plead guilty. It's not. He's just going to get you more time.
For reasons unbeknownst to Kimmler, Cochran was soon filing appeals on his behalf, citing the Eighth Amendment, which bars the government from handing down cruel and unusual punishment. The bill for services rendered, of course, was paid by George Westinghouse, who was determined to fight this until the very end. They lost the first appeal, but on the second appeal, who should show up on the stand but Thomas Edison?
No stone unturned. He's like a Batman villain. He is just there each time, being like, thought I gave up? He's just got like two light bulbs in a bra. Like, he's just like lighting them up back and forth. Just going like, got you, fucker. Got you again, fucker.
Jeez. So this was really like a personal feud.
It was a personal vendetta, yeah. And Edison gave testimony in saying that not only was electrocution certainly predictable and controllable enough for use in executions, but Westinghouse's AC power, with all its flaws, mind you, that's the perfect way to do it. Guys, God, go ahead.
Damn,
this shit is on point.
Look at him here, and to prove my point again, I have brought this rare peacock from the wilds of the Adirondacks. Can you see its plumage? Oh, it's beautiful. Gaze your eyes upon it now.
Fucking on burst into flames.
Oh, it's like, my goodness.
Just like that.
Look at that.
Now, AC still won the battle of currents. You're using it right now. Everyone that's listening is using it right now.
I'm not using it.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
But I'm willing to bet that Edison took just a little bit of joy in ensuring that at the very least, Westinghouse walked away with the black eye. Because AC power powered the electric chair forever.
It does seem like the Eighth Amendment was sort of like laughed at. Because how isn't this? I'm personally against executions. I'm an anti-death penalty person. Always.
Yeah,
always
we all are. Yeah.
We all are. I'm anti-death penalty. I'm anti-death penalty. I don't think that we all should. I don't like the private prison system either.
No, but yeah. At what point do you watch a bunch of dogs, you know, just get fucking shocked to death, and you're like, that's not cruel, nor is that unusual. As a matter of fact, that's kind and usual. It doesn't make the Eighth Amendment was just like, nah, not really. We didn't really mean that. Was it like in italics in the Constitution or something?
Well, no, they believed that the electric chair was both humane and scientific. They thought it was progressive, newfangled.
Oh, wow.
Because new science.
Yeah, they thought it was progress. Like, this is how much humanity is progressing. We could even kill our prisoners humanely and without pain, and everyone doesn't have to feel all icky about all the blood and such.
We just got done chopping people's fucking heads off. We were hanging them in town squares, all of this shit. So to them, the electric chair was Tesla. This was the coolest, newest thing. It was the iPhone zapping these guys.
Yeah, interesting. And this was not that long ago. Was this 1910, you said?
No, this is 1889.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the chair was built. The first electric chair was made of oak, and the condemned was secured to the seat using leather straps. One electrode was attached to a shaven spot on the prisoner's head, while the other was attached to the spine. The electrodes were metal discs fitted with rubber that held in place a sponge soaked in saline solution, thereby conducting the electricity directly into the body with minimal resistance.
You know, this is one of the ironies about all of this is, of course, the Amish make the best furniture. They legitimately are the hardest working people on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But then the electricity, I think they would have a hard time with.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. Well, the first execution of this sort was performed by Edwin Davis in Auburn Prison here in New York State.
Oh.
The day before William Kimmler was to be executed, Davis tested the machine out on a horse, and it worked great.
Salami Senior.
No, I don't think. I just feel bad for all these animals. All right.
And after it was determined that 1,000 volts should be more than sufficient to kill a man, Davis flipped the switch and sent 700 volts to Kimmler's body for 17 seconds. Then a second switch was pulled, and a second charge of 1,030 volts killed the poor bastard.
Ugh. And he's just snapping back and forth, because this was before it was perfected.
Mm-hmm. I still don't think it's perfected.
But even though he was dead, the chair also thoroughly cooked Kimmler, filling the room with the smell of charred flesh and burnt hair as smoke rose from his head. Now, it was said that the proceedings received, quote, mixed reviews.
Okay, hold on
three
a second.
Stars.
There was a Siskel and fucking Ebert on this thing? There was like a letter in Malton being like, no, that was a fairly good execution, although I thought it was a little bit cliche during the middle.
Well, those in attendance were impressed by the speed, but were less than thrilled about the burning flesh.
Oh, they
as,
didn't...
as many of them tried to leave the room, but were made to wait until it was all over and done with.
I actually like that. Sit there and sit in it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, improvements were made. Instead of just two contacts on the head and spine, they figured it'd be better to move the spine electrode to the ankle and double them up down there, bringing the electrode count to three. They also rethought the voltage. See, just as it is with hanging, there's a sweet spot when it comes to electrocution. If you'll remember with hanging, too short of a drop and the person takes forever to die. Mm-hmm. Too long and the head pops right off the body. It was pretty much the same with the chair. If the voltage is too low, it's just a long torture session.
Yeah, and that's boring.
Yeah. But set it too high, and the chair will literally cook the person in the seat and fry their brain in their skull.
Jesus okay, now- Christ. It's such a big jump.
Oh, yeah. But now, how long are we talking here? Are we talking 15, 25, a minute? How long?
As far as how long they do it?
Yeah.
Well, it was decided that they would give 2,000 volts twice at 60 seconds each Ooh. With a 10-second interval Ooh, in between. God.
Okay, so hold on. Now, why the break? Does it need to have a halftime? Does it need to be played like college basketball where it's like, we'll do a minute, 10-second breather, and another minute?
I think the idea is that it's supposed to zap them once. You're supposed to check if they're dead. I believe that's kind of the idea, is that you're supposed to see, have we completely wiped it out? And then the second go around is supposed to seal the deal.
It's not until they do the second go around that they check to see that he's dead.
Why do they do the break?
They always do twice to make goddamn sure.
Wow.
All right.
It's Edison now with a full suit made out of light bulbs being like, I gotcha. Who's number one? It's me. Edison, number one. It's me. It's me.
Crazy.
Now, not surprisingly, the showmanship and the seeming efficiency of the electric chair made it a hit here in America. And pretty soon, the electric chair was being touted as the progressive choice for executions all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
By 1910, four more states, Ohio, New Jersey, Virginia, and North Carolina, had all adopted electric chairs of their own, with each state putting their own little flair into the design.
Sir, I don't want to say anything here, but I've actually invented an electric stool, and I was wondering if you might be interested in that here in North Carolina.
How do you feel about being governor?
I'll take
that's
it.
That's what I want to see, because that's what I've been saying for a long time. If we get enough electrodes up their asshole, I am certain that we could really get this down to even 15 seconds.
And some of these seats had headrests, some had full harnesses, some even had little grates on the seat to let bodily fluids flow freely to a bucket waiting below.
Do you think it cooked the shit?
I mean, everyone who was electrocuted shat. Every single time. Like, the convulsions, everyone always lost control.
And if you
had clothes on in the chair, right?
Yeah.
It can't just let it go.
Do it naked.
It'll go.
No.
Why do you think that would be so? Marcus, that's not that crazy. They're already killing. Marcus is like, of course they're clothed. We're civilized when we murder our people.
Yeah, no one's executed anyone naked in centuries.
All right. And if you want to hear if you want to hear more hard-hitting questions like the one Henry just asked, do they cook the shit? You can subscribe to our Patreon. Henry and I do a great interview series, we love interviewing everyone. So thank you all so much for your support.
Thank you. And each state had its own name for their chair as well. In Alabama, they had the Yellow Mama. They named it that because for some reason, they had decided to paint their electric chair bright yellow.
Why not make it as horrible as possible?
I guess.
Here in New York, we had the classic. We had Old Sparky. And in Louisiana, they had Gruesome Gertie.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will. You wouldn't name it after me.
because there ain't nothing too bad about my seat.
Gruesome Gertie, I've told you 1,000 times you're not allowed in the supermarket. They, the people say you spoil the meat.
You won't see how many cucumbers I get in my puss.
Yeah. At least Gruesome Gertie is accurate.
Yeah.
So I give them credit for being on the nose with that.
Very
accurate. Actually, while we were doing, I was reading through this script, I remembered the quote from Ernest Goes to Jail. When he gets it, when he finds out he's going to get the chair, and he's like, death row. You mean like the chair, the hot seat, dead meat, deep six, it's over, pal, you're out of here, bub. Groundhogs are bringing you your mail, you're bringing turnips with the stepladder, the no tomorrow row, that kind of row? Oh, no. The row?
Honestly, Ernest holds up. When he goes to camp, it's still hilarious.
It's still hilarious. And if you're feeling a little down today, look up the pen scene from Ernest Goes to Jail on YouTube.
It
is so good. The movie as a whole is not worth sitting through. But no. The pen scene, fantastic.
What are you talking about? When he goes like all electro?
Yeah.
And when he gets the superpowers from the chair, that's awesome.
Yeah, it really is awesome. I wish that actor embraced the Ernest character and didn't despise it his entire life.
But no matter what the name, all electric chairs pretty much worked the same way. As it was demonstrated in The Green Mile, the sponge on the head really is the key to the whole operation.
Mm.
What the sponge does is let the current easily flow through the body. If it's too dry, there's too much resistance.
Mm.
And when you got too much resistance, you got a man on fire.
Oh my God. I remember reading about those. A couple of the guys that burst into flames when the electric chair was still going on in the 90s.
Mm, yeah, well, we'll get to all those stories.
Yay.
And if the sponge is too wet, the saline short circuits the electrical current.
Hmm.
Now, at first, the electric chair used leather straps to secure the prisoner, which usually resulted in unnecessary burns, and it partly caused the terrible smell.
Hmm.
This fact was noticed by a prison inmate named Charles Justice, as Justice was cleaning up the execution chamber one day. He suddenly got a light bulb and was like, those leather straps, you shouldn't be doing it that way. That's just going to burn people. So Justice suggested that maybe they should use metal straps instead. And lo and behold, it worked. So as a reward, authorities reduced Justice's sentence and allowed his parole from Ohio State Penitentiary.
Oh. It's all about thinking. If you use that melon, you can get out. You can fix your life. He was a real Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah, in a way. Okay. I can't imagine the other inmates were like super thrilled to see him, but...
Well, 11 years later, Charles Justice ended up right back in the same prison on charges of theft and murder. And on November 9th, 1911, Justice was executed in the exact same chair he himself had improved.
Oh, my God.
A little too ironic. Yeah, I really do think.
Yeah, I missed that lyric in that song by Alanis Morissette. Interesting. I wonder if he thought that he made the right decision, though, as far as the leather strap goes. I wonder if he's like, well, at least right here.
It did make his trip.
You see? I ain't gonna be burned now, you see? I have another idea. It's called Let Him Go. Everybody gets let go.
Live from your grave.
Other than your absolute best friends, who could you ask to bring you red wine at 4 p.m., sushi at 9 p.m., and a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m.? Who would do this? Because I know my best friends, you hear them every friggin' week, unless podcasting left, and they wouldn't do it. You know who does it? Postmates. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever you can think of delivery service all year round. No bullets, though. But I honestly, Postmates has saved my buns several times when my buns need alcohol at midnight. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Again, no bullets. Download the app for iOS or Android for free, browse local restaurants and businesses, and track your delivery. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you want within the hour. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. Straight up, I use it all the time. It is at midnight, and you need wine, you need beer. That's unfortunately, I keep saying that again and again because I have a problem. But at the same time, they bring you the booze before it becomes a serious problem. Especially in Los Angeles, when you can't easily go to the door, there's no bodega. You know, there's no stores anywhere near you. You can't just walk out amongst the freeway people and go get some booze in the night. You need somebody to deliver it to your door. They are the largest on-demand network in the known universe with more than 25,000
partner merchants. Like an octopus, it spreads. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app right now and use the code LASTPOD. That's code LASTPOD for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Get anything you need, anytime you need it. Download Postmates and save with code LASTPOD. It's worth it.
Live from your grave.
Now, as far as the other electrodes go, the ones on the ankles, those were slathered with a patented conducting jelly called Electrocreme, which smoothed out the current down below.
That's a good way to impress your lover. Is that if you want to use that for lube?
Oh yeah,
you can say like, "You'll find that my love-making techniques can be shocking."
You just cover yourself in electrocreme.
Yeah, that's what women always like before sex, puns. I've heard that. They always like a
covering
good...
my whole dick and balls in my asshole with electrocreme.
I'm just going to go and the relationship that we could have had never will happen.
Hey, guess what? I never wanted one in the first place.
And once all the electrodes were attached, the switch was flipped. Then, after a short interval, it was flipped again. Then, after waiting for the body to cool down a bit, a doctor would check the heart. If the heart was still beating, bam, flip it again.
Oh, goodness.
Until he is dead, or she.
So they didn't get like Earl Hebner, the WWE referee, to do the three count where they lift it, they lift the arm up 1, 2, 3, and if it hits the third time, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could zap you. I don't know how electricity works.
No.
I don't know if it gets stuck inside the body.
No, it wasn't the electricity in their bodies that they were worried about. It was just that the body was very, very hot to the touch. So they had to wait for it to cool down.
So this is a Jim Gaffigan bit this turns into?
Yeah. Do we know what the temperature of the body is when the execution takes place?
Not off the top of my head. I don't know. But the thing is, we're not 100% sure on exactly how the electric chair kills a person.
Hmm.
Yes, the heart does stop, but how? Well, technically, it's probably due to asphyxiation as a result of the paralysis of the respiratory system.
Oh my God, it doesn't even stop the fucking heart, it literally just chokes you to death?
Well, physiologically, the electricity is so powerful that the brain begins to literally bubble from the current, which fries the respiratory center of the medulla, which is the part of the brain that controls breathing.
Whoa.
That makes it so much worse.
It's so much worse. Or at least that's what they think is the most likely way it happens, because some of our stories today will show that there might be a few different avenues to death when it comes to the chair.
Okay.
But what the electric chair doesn't do most of the time is knock the person unconscious. Most likely, the person being electrocuted is aware the entire time, able to both feel and smell himself being burned alive until the lack of oxygen switches off the consciousness.
Maybe they should have written the Eighth Amendment with like the clapback emoji. Just be like, this is a real amendment.
And it hurts like hell, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, the skin turns bright red as it swells and stretches.
Ooh.
And if the body heat gets too high, the prisoner can burst into flames, particularly if he's sweating a lot.
And he's not sweating a lot. He should have been a professional golfer. Because it really takes a kind of calm to do that job.
Yeah.
And then there's the hood. Now, the hood is mostly for the benefit of the public watching the spectacle. Mm-hmm. Not only is it easier to watch when you don't have to see the prisoner's face, it has been known for the eyeballs of the prisoner to pop out of their sockets upon the first jolt.
Ooh. And I tell you what, it takes my sunglasses to keep my eyeballs in my sockets every single time I take a sip of just delicious... Spring Hill Jack coffee.
You know, I have a feeling they're going to stop sending it to you because they're going to lose a lot of customers. it's a strange advertisement. So the person, they would feel their eyes bulging out of their head like dead alive.
Most likely, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you read those stories about Raul Julia because he had that problem. I forgot what the term is because his eyeballs were sticking out of the top of his head. It's some weird thing where his sockets are too shallow. Mm-hmm. And they said that his eyeballs would literally pop out and hang by the optic nerve. And he'd just be like, excuse me, because he was charming. And he would just pop them back in.
You know what? I'm just going to say that's like, I got to go to the restroom, and then I would just leave lunch.
Yeah.
I would leave dinner.
Besides a 5-decade run in the Philippines, the United States is the only place in the world where the electric chair was ever used as a government-approved method of execution.
Wow.
The British looked into it, for a brief period, and then decided to outlaw capital punishment instead.
So it was.
And they were one of the first people to invent slavery.
Yeah, I know. They're like they have a horrible, horrible history. If it's too brutal for the royalty of Britain, I think it might be too brutal for us too.
So to date, 4,374 people have been executed using the chair in the United States. Mm. But looking at the stats provided by the Death Penalty Information Center, electrocution does actually have the lowest number of what are considered botched executions throughout the years.
Okay.
Out of the almost 5,000 electrocutions performed, only 84 were considered to be botched. That's 1.92%, as opposed to the current most popular method of execution, lethal injection, which has a much higher botched rate of 7.12%.
How is that botched? Like, my question is, like, what does that mean then? Well, like, how is a lethal injection botched? It's like the thing doesn't work, or like the guy isn't paralyzed, or he isn't anesthetized, and then it kills him?
We've talked about this on Abe Lincoln's Top Ad, actually, quite regularly. And what happens is, first of all, they use generic drugs because they didn't want to go for the really nice, fancy drugs. And second of all, they literally just have, like, inmates helping out with the executions. It's just COs. It's just corrections officers that are like, today, Randy, you're doing the killing. And then they have extreme PTSD. It's not even doctors doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
They don't even have a nurse doing it who knows how to do an injection?
They're horrible.
Well, actually, there are never any doctors involved in lethal injections or gas chambers because of the Hippocratic Oath.
Yep. Oh, so that makes sense.
First, do no harm. So, yeah, they're not actually allowed to participate in a lecture in execution.
The smartest person in the room is the priest, and that's never a good thing.
The only method of execution that has a 100% success rate is the firing squad, but it's also the least used. Only 34 people have been officially killed in the United States using the firing squad. But the botched number on that one is a big, fat zero.
So I don't fully understand this. We have a gun culture that is very difficult to explain to other people when you leave this country.
Yeah.
How come we just didn't do the firing squad?
Just always pop them in the head. It does create PTSD with our soldiers, but I don't think do the thing with the firing squad where only one person's got the bullet and the one of them shoots it, or like a couple of them got the bullet. But we train these guys. I don't know.
No, how could that be more PTSD than frying someone?
Yeah, I mean, it is sort of the same thing. I mean, I'm not really sure. Maybe it has something to do with the associations it has to the military and like military tribe. I mean, I know the Russians during the Soviet era, their method of execution was just a pistol behind the ear.
Yeah,
that's how Andrei Chikatilo was executed. Mm. A lot of people got executed. They just put a pistol right behind the ear and pop. One shot, and they're instantly dead.
I would take that in a heartbeat over having my eyes pop out of my skull as I slowly suffocate because of execution.
But even though the electric chair technically has the best record, when things fuck up, they fuck up spectacularly. And those fuck-ups make headlines. Mm. Take, for example, the 1946 case of Willie Francis. See, Willie Francis had the misfortune of having his execution prepared by an official who had decided to show up to work drunk that day. And as soon as the switch was pulled, Francis started screaming that he could feel everything.
Ooh.
They stopped at mid-execution, and when they asked Francis what the experience was like, he said he could feel the electrode points burning him and that his mouth filled with the taste of cold peanut butter.
Why cold peanut butter?
He just said that's what it tasted like to him. He said it was cold peanut butter.
Strange. Also,
yeah, man, your brain's being fried, Kissel.
It's
probably the first pleasant thing that comes up, or just been like, peanut butter, like in the senses, be like, what can we do?
I guess. Also, if you're this guy doing the execution, just don't show up to drunk. Just don't show up to work drunk today.
Yeah.
You can be drunk the next day, the day before.
I would imagine this is not the first time he showed up to an execution drunk.
Yeah, probably.
This is just the first time that he fucked up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not you that decides to show up to work drunk. Sometimes it's the drunk that decides that makes you show up to work.
Well, that's one of the ironies of true alcoholics who are like, I'm very responsible. I always show up to work drunk.
Yeah, if I'm drunk all the time, then that's just me.
That's me, buddy.
And Willie Francis wasn't the only one to survive the electric chair, at least briefly. In 1903, a man named Frederick Van Warmer was in line for execution along with his two brothers, Willis and Burton. The three of them had killed their uncle over money on Christmas Eve, and all three were due to be executed on the same day.
Hmm.
Willis went first,
Frederick went second, and Burton was third. And all three were killed in the span of 15 minutes.
Wow.
But during the postmortem, a guard saw Frederick Van Warmer move his hand.
Peanut butter. Horrifying.
Turned out, Frederick had an unusually large heart, so the two shocks hadn't been enough to make it stop. So they carted him back into the room, strapped him in, and made damn sure he was dead using a third jolt.
Just shoot him in the head. Shoot him in the head. Do something with him. Choke him to death.
Because the sentence is, you must be electrocuted until you are dead. So the sentence must be carried out.
I'm just so happy they're going with the rule of law. I'm just going to say this. You survive two jolts, you go free.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. If I was the warden, I would say you got two jolts, you missed your five, you go free.
Yeah, and Van Warmer wasn't the only one to go to the chair unconscious. In 1936, a woman named Mary Creighton was executed for killing her lover's wife with rat poison.
Mm.
And it wasn't her first murder either. She'd also poisoned her mother-in-law, father-in-law, and her younger brother. But there wasn't enough evidence to prove any of those murders.
What does the husband do?
Yeah,
what does the husband do?
The husband actually helped her murder the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, and the younger brother, but Mary Creighton had moved on to another lover and had decided to murder that wife. Now, Creighton tried the crazy defense in the days leading up to the execution by banging her head on the bars and screaming and such, but it was all for naught. The execution went forward, but on the hour of her execution, she fainted when the guards came to her cell door.
Hmm.
And that was Mary Creighton's last conscious moment on this earth as the guards unceremoniously picked her up, dragged her to the chamber, strapped her in, and electrocuted her while she was still passed out.
The possum defense does not work. on death row. I will say, you know where the possum defense does work? If they're trying to get you to leave a plane. If you just go limp, eventually they don't do anything to you. And also, I learned this from an Uber driver last night, where he was having a problem with somebody who was asleep in the car. If you just refuse to respond, they can't touch you. You now technically own that car for as long as you're in there.
It's a good technique. Good technique indeed.
And Creighton certainly wasn't the only one to try acting crazy to get out of it either. Harry Helms was on death row for dressing up in a Santa Claus suit and murdering two cops during a robbery in Cisco, Texas in 1929, not too far from where I grew up.
Mm.
Back when crimes were fun.
Yeah
kind of, I guess.
Do they not dress in costumes anymore for bank robberies?
I think they put masks on, but I don't... I mean, honestly, the last great costume was the dudes who wore the full steel. They looked like a furnace.
Yeah, but that's not a costume. That's like body armor.
That was body armor.
That's kind of a costume, isn't it?
What if they just come in like those sexy Overwatch cosplay girls going on? I would be distracted.
I don't think you have to rob a bank. I think people actually just give you money when you do that.
Well, while Harry Helms was awaiting execution, he started singing the same song in his cell over and over and over again while tearing books and letters into tiny pieces.
Hmm. Dancing with myself.
You think that was it?
It was 1929, so it was probably like, I don't like butter on my corn cheeks.
Why wouldn't you like butter on your corn?
That's what you like, Marcus. That's your favorite kind of music.
It is my favorite kind of music. I love that. If I may recommend my new favorite podcast, Hot Pipes, the Pipe Organ Podcast.
Seriously?
It's great.
Well,
is that real?
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. Hot Pipes. It's just some British guy quietly talking about certain pipe organ players throughout the years. What cities have the best pipe organs?
When you're listening,
the fascinating part of the Pinecrest Auto Whirler were the some pipes. Wider than others. This one, the pipes were so thin.
And Marcus is just like, he still got it.
He's still got it. Marcus, got it. I have to ask you, how many knives do you lick while listening to that podcast? You live the life of a serial killer, but I know you're too busy to kill.
What are you talking about?
Hot pipes!
What is wrong with hot pipes? What is it about hot pipes that spells serial killer to you?
It sounds like a restaurant. It sounds like a restaurant that serves logs of shit.
Hot Pipes, the Pipe Organ Podcast. It's my new favorite.
Okay,
so.
You're allowed to listen to whatever you want.
Thank you. So after Harry Helms was taken for a sanity hearing, mm-hmm. A verdict of sane came back after about 20 minutes, and after the sane verdict came back, he reportedly said in a pouty tone, quote,
I ain't gonna sing no more.
Honestly, that's the saddest thing we've talked about so far today, and we've talked about copious amounts of dogs that have died. So that is, you can still sing, buddy. Don't even stress it.
I guess I'll just keep myself silent.
Everybody's so sad.
No, buddy, you can sing.
And Henry Holmes was carried to the chair, kicking and screaming by four guards just a couple of weeks later, and was electrocuted in a private ceremony with no witnesses and no reporters, as per Holmes' request.
See, I like that approach, though. Kicking and screaming. Make them work for it. You're going to kill me. Yeah. I'm not going. The peaceful person who was like, I've made my peace. There ain't no making peace with the chair, baby.
No.
I would kick and scream the whole time, try to get an eye.
You're going to have to do some prison CrossFit to get me into that room, because there's going to take a lot of core strength to keep me while I'm swinging my arms and kicking my legs, but I also do want as big of an audience as possible. Gotta remember that, guys.
And I hate to say this, Henry, but you kicking and screaming would be cute, because you're like just a little dumb.
I'll kill you.
I was like, okay, puffin of humans, you have to go.
I will have been on death row for a reason.
Yeah.
Now, while men made up the vast majority of lightning riders over the years, Mary Crichton was not even close to the only woman who went.
Mm.
In one case, the sentence actually resulted in a jailhouse romance. Dubbed the Granite Woman by the press, Ruth Snyder was a housewife from Queens who was sent to the chair in 1929 for convincing her lover, a corset salesman named Henry Jug Gray, to help murder her husband for insurance money.
Okay.
That's kind of hot.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's, you know, sitting there every day, Judd is just, he's tying Ruth and like mashing her tits up, and every day she's just like,
maybe if you just play your cards right, maybe you can kill my husband and be my new husband.
For some
and
reason, Judd, I don't think that's like, the way that Ruth sounds. But.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we gotta get him out of the picture so my vagina's empty. And Judd Gray's like, oh, let me in there. I'll do anything. Where do I gotta put the stool?
Now, lest ye say that Snyder was just trying to get someone else to do her dirty work, according to Gray, Ruth had already tried to kill her husband 7 times by this point through various gassings and poisonings. But still, her husband had survived every single one.
I wonder
he's
if
like Mr. Magoo.
Legitimately, like, everything is going crazy around him, and he just stays the course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that does make a good point. With the horse blinders, just don't recognize anything, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah.
You're just walking through scenarios. Things are blowing up around you. Just happy as you can be, just whistling.
So, to make damn sure he died, Judd and Ruth approached her husband, while he was passed out drunk in bed, bashed his skull in with a piece of lead, chloroformed him, and garroted the old drunk with a wire.
Okay, first of all, you're drunk shaming, which I don't like. And second of
all... he would still be alive.
If what?
If you hadn't been passed out.
Oh my God, okay, I'm sorry. It's called sleeping. When a sober person goes to bed...
He let his guard down.
He was just sleeping.
All I'm saying is if someone walks in a room into my room with a garrote, sober... I'm fucking there, man.
I'm sure you are. We've always said that. And of course, you're distracted by listening to Hot Pipes because you fell asleep with the earbuds in, and you don't know that I'm there with a garrote.
The Wurlitzer dirigible has some of the most dependable pipes, some of the sleekest pedals that you could ever put a harpsichord playing boot upon.
Meanwhile, Carolina is just being like, if I hear one more thing about a fucking pipe in this house, I'm going to garrote him to death.
She loves listening to Hot Pipes as well.
Well, I hope she does.
We're a Hot Pipe household.
You are.
Georgie
is just like, how did I get here? I am a dog, and this is hell. No, Georgie loves it.
She does. Yeah, yeah. Georgie knows she's loved very much.
Live from your grave.
If you love Last Podcast, I'm guessing you love true crime stories, mysteries, cold cases, and big fat men. And if you love researching as much as we do, you probably get so immersed in the mystery that you try to solve the cases you're learning about. But we have something to satisfy your inner detective, or what's been called in my case, inner peeping Tom. Introduce Hunt-A-Killer, your new favorite obsession. Hunt-A-Killer is a monthly subscription game where you become a detective immersed in a murder mystery. You can also just make up murder mysteries about the neighbors in your apartment building, but then people say you're a nuisance.
Each month you'll receive crime scene photos, evidence, motive, and suspect information that you'll need to use to solve a crime. It's so interactive and convincing that it looks and feels real. From the newspaper clippings to the clothing left at the crime scenes. So many bras, so many panties. And if you think it will be easy, think again. You will be racking your brain to solve the mystery and anxiously awaiting the next box of clues.
Hunt a Killer
is perfect to play solo, during date night, or with friends or a game night so you can swap theories. I like playing alone all the time. You can even join their online community and work with other people who are at the same point in the story as you. Over 60,000 people have joined Hunt a Killer's online activity, and they have over 1,000 five-star customer reviews. It really does help you from investigating your neighbors. And I love the little pieces of clothing. The evidence is very real looking. It's a cool game because it allows you to use your imagination
to hunt a killer.
Unless you said opening up real cold cases and going after real killers, then you become one of those weird old ladies. I think that's from Making a Murderer. I don't remember which one had the old ladies in it. No, that was the one with the nun that got fucking iced. She got too close to the truth. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/lastpod for 20% off your first box. They only accept 200 members per day, so hurry to take advantage of this offer. That's huntakiller.com/lastpod for 20% off your first box. huntakiller.com/lastpod. See if you have what it takes to get into the mind of a serial killer and solve the mystery.
Live from your grave.
Now, after they killed the husband, Judd Gray bound and gagged Ruth, making the whole thing look like a robbery gone awry. Mm.
See, that's hot. Because, yeah. You know, he's got her all tagged up. He's like, come on, Ruth. Let's get one more in there while your husband's still warm.
And she's just like, okay, but don't come in me. Because I don't want to be a mommy.
And he's like, I'll make a corset so tight it'll squeeze that baby out of her asshole. Like it's jelly falling out of the bottom of my fucking...
I do enjoy your Richard Nixon has sex with Casey Anthony sort of bizarre penthouse letter that you've created for all of us.
But stupidly, Ruth hadn't gotten rid of any of the items she'd reported stolen to the police. And the police smelled something fishy from the get-go here, and they just found the items that she reported stolen stashed around the house.
Honestly, if you're Ruth, flip it. Be like, you found it!
Yay!
You guys are the best cops of all time. You actually solved the mystery of the hidden lampshade.
Well, the whole thing really fell apart when the cops found a paper marked with the initials J.G. Judd Gray. But as it turned out, the paper was actually a memento from one of her husband's old lovers, who just happened to have the same initials. But the paper was enough to get Ruth flustered, and she was the one who brought up Judd Gray, whom the police hadn't even heard of up to that point. And it was only a matter of time before police caught up to Gray, and Gray rolled over on Ruth.
You mean to tell me these Irish cops didn't know the corset maker in town? They didn't go there. Like, Tony O'Malley was just like, he just makes me feel strong. Makes me feel confident when I wear one of his corsets.
Well, the whole thing was such a farce that one reporter who covered the case called it the dumbbell murder because, in his words, quote, it was so dumb.
Yep.
Reporter of the year.
Everybody was just too horny.
Yeah.
And distracted.
To really think straight, yeah.
Give the guy a Pulitzer. He saw it, and he called it like he saw it. It's too dumb.
But it was while Ruth was on death row that she caught the eye of a prison cook named Dummy Dugan. Dugan was a small-time gangster who was in charge of cooking meals for the death house, and he immediately fell in love with the blonde-haired, blue-eyed granite woman.
They call me Dummy, but when it comes to love, Mikey, I'm so dumb I'm good.
I believe that, Dummy. You're doing great. And
I'm too dumb for my penis to go down.
Yeah, I believe it, buddy. By the way, the chili on Tuesday was superb.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I bet. I made it out of it.
Oh, okay, well, you don't got to tell me the ingredients. Thank you, Dummy.
I'm sorry. I'm just too dumb to keep my chef secrets, I guess.
You are.
Well, Dummy began to smuggle love letters hidden in sandwiches or taped to the underside of Ruth Snyder's trays. And Ruth began to respond. Eventually, Dummy Dugan proposed, and Ruth accepted by writing her answer on a napkin.
Aww.
Oh, this is more of how to get a man than a woman.
Well, he was providing her food, mm-hmm. a little love, sure.
But it wasn't meant to be.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
So it turns out death row isn't where you find your long-term partner?
On January 12th, 1928, both Ruth and Judd Gray were executed, and Dummy Dugan spent the night wrecking his kitchen and drowning his sorrows in prison prune hooch.
Oh, poor
Why
Dummy.
Why didn't they take me? Why didn't they take me?
Yeah, that's okay. You have a child. His name is Forrest. Forrest Gump.
He's Wait out a second.
Yeah.
Is he smart? Oh, is he...
Oh, I'm gonna say he's just as smart as you. Yes.
Oh, just like a daddy.
You're a daddy dummy.
I'm a daddy dummy.
No, you're a daddy dummy.
I am a daddy dummy.
We can do this all day.
I killed three boys.
Okay, thank you, dummy.
As far as the actual execution of Ruth Snyder went, a New York Daily News reporter snuck a tiny camera into the proceedings and took a haunting photo of Snyder mid-execution, and the Daily News printed it on the front page Ooh. The next day.
So
I took a look at this picture, yeah. and it is fucking haunting.
Yeah.
Go Google Ruth Snyder execution. This picture is chilling, and then you can also see the camera, not exactly hidden.
Well, not tiny, but they had loose pants.
They had loose pants, yeah. I mean, but that picture is truly horrifying.
Yeah, it was strapped to his ankle.
Yes.
And, but it's definitely, you could see the motion.
Oh.
You could see the motion of her body jerking yeah. back and forth. It's pretty metal.
It yeah. is. Ruth Snyder execution.
Now, as far as the people who actually pulled the switch went, there were some who gained a small amount of notoriety. In New York, the man who pulled the switch was officially known as the New York State Electrician.
Yeah. Was he named by the Post?
Okay, what a claim to fame to have.
The very first, Edwin Davis, killed 240 people in the 25 years he manned the switch,
Jeez.
Including the first woman, Martha Place, who had murdered her stepdaughter in Brooklyn by throwing acid in her face in 1898.
Did they give him like a 25-year-old like mini electric chair that had a plaque on the back with all the names of the people he killed?
Well, after Davis retired, his assistant John Hurlburt took over, and he managed 140 executions in 13 years. Described by the press as, quote, the man who walks alone, Hulbert only did the job for the paycheck and retired after a nervous breakdown.
I can't imagine the weight of being the arm of the state.
Yeah.
Your job is to go, you pull the lever, because that's what they do, right? They just outsource all their dirty work to one fucking guy.
Yeah.
So it starts with just somebody signing a piece of paper saying death by electrocution until dead, and they don't have to do fuck. They don't have to do anything. They just send it down to this guy
yep.
that has to absorb all of this shit like a big emotional diaper.
And a lot of times they're just regular corrections officers because doctors aren't allowed because of the Hippocratic Oath. And it's got to be extremely traumatizing.
Yeah. Well, the man who replaced Hurlburt eclipsed them all. George G. Eliot pulled the switch on 387 people in the same amount of time as his predecessor, 13 years. And when Eliot wasn't in the executioner's chair, he ran an electrical contracting business.
Jeez. Yeah.
Know your brand. That's what this is about.
Yeah, he was
like,
on brand.
I'm in the Zap business.
Yeah, I guess so.
In fact, the way Eliot got into the business was that he started off as just a general electrician at Dannemora State Prison. Mm. And eventually, he began assisting Edwin Davis in general maintenance of the execution chamber systems. And when John Hurlburt retired, they were like, let's get Robert to do it.
Yeah, next guy up.
Mm-hmm. But the reason why his body count was so high was because Eliot was not only the switchman for New York, but he also performed all the executions in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Vermont, and Massachusetts.
Jesus, does he just like drive a hearse? This man is Dr. Death.
He once did 6 executions in 3 states in 1 day.
Jeez.
And he's the tri-state Grim Reaper.
He really is. But so this dude liked it. Is that my understanding?
He was fine with it. Like, he saw him, he said he saw himself as just an arm of the state. And he was actually, after he retired, came out against capital punishment. He's like, I don't see any point to this in any way whatsoever. Right. I hope we get to a point in society where we don't do this anymore. But he still took the $150 for every execution, which didn't sound like a whole lot of money. But in today's dollars, that was $2,000 per execution.
That's a hell of a lot of cash.
He was doing it for cold, hard cash.
Yeah.
So right. that was a part of it. That was his job. And so then, back then, people were pretty grim about how to get their money.
Yeah.
I think people have gotten worse on that front.
I don't know how. There's not a ton of people lining up to be executioners these days.
No.
But back then, every time there was an opening for executioner, at least in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they would be inundated with letters from people being like, I'll do it.
Wow.
Just bring me on. I have no problem with it.
And now they estimate 1.8 to 2% of people on death row are innocent. But back then, I think that number was probably like 20 or something. I mean, this must be a huge percentage of people that were innocent that they killed.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. In the electric chair's heyday, quite a few innocent men and women went to the chair. And speaking of which, it was George Eliot who pulled the switch on Italian immigrants Sacco and Vanzetti, who was one of a very famous case of two immigrants getting railroaded back in the 20s, I think. Well, learned about it in school.
Wait, are you telling me that this nation sort of maligned immigrants? No, come on. No. Not possible.
This is back when Italians were truly foreign.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah, yeah. They sent both of them to the chair.
Wow.
And they did not commit the crime. It was a big cause célèbre back in the day, but it did not matter.
Okay.
And both of them were executed. But one Italian who actually did commit the crime was a man named Giuseppe Zangara.
Yeah, he's Italian.
Yeah,
he is.
Nailed it.
Giuseppe was an Italian immigrant who suffered from chronic stomach problems that he blamed on being overworked as a child.
Mm.
So he blamed all of his problems on capitalists.
Mm. Give me mother, she make me go and pick the spaghetti on the spaghetti tree, and now all I do is poop. All I do is poop. I don't have any time to read. I don't have any time to draw. I have no time to go to make a vote for the president. All I make is a diarrhea. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, he came to America in 1922 and moved to Miami, where his chronic pain and hatred for capitalists boiled for a decade before he decided that the thing that would solve all his problems would be to kill the president.
All right.
I got to kill the president. Have you seen the shape of my poop? It comes out in a tiny little balls. They say that, if it looks like you shoot a rabbit with it, it means you got the unheavenly God. Unheavenly God, I need some lettuce.
Okay.
Well, he later said, and this is a direct quote, quote,
I want to make it a 50-50. Since my stomach hurt, I get even with the capitalist by a killer president. My stomach hurt a long time.
It's an interesting political motivation to kill a president. You have a tummy ache, so you're going to kill the president.
Yeah,
it does make sense. I think it makes sense. Somebody's got to pay.
I'm going to say this. If he was alive today, over under 30... I'm going over on bumper stickers. You know, he's one of those guys. Every political belief he has is summed up in a bumper sticker on the back of his van.
Yeah, it probably got kind of like the MAGA bomber. Got 20, 40, 60 stickers or so. Maybe a couple of doll's heads glued to the hood.
Yeah.
And it just so happened, as Giuseppe's hatred was boiling, that President-elect Franklin Roosevelt was coming through Florida for a visit.
Little did he know, a storm was brewing. No, not outside, in this man's tummy.
So, Giuseppe bought a .32 caliber revolver for $8 and headed out to the event where the new president was about to give a speech. But the thing was, Giuseppe was only 5 feet tall.
Oh, he's so cute. He's got a tummy ache. Oh, come here.
You don't stop making fun of me, you big walrus. If I could come up there, if I could get up there, I would put my goals down inside your nose.
It's a cute assassin. You're an adorable little assassin.
Yeah,
I take a shit on the ground. I make it a 2 feet high pipe. So I stand up on the top of the dukes, and then I shoot the president.
Okay. It's kind of scary then.
Yeah, since he was so short, he couldn't see over the crowd, so he had to stand up on a chair to take a shot at the president. But since the chair was a little wobbly, the 5 shots that Giuseppe managed to get off missed the president completely.
No, no!
It's It's like the end of Dumb and Dumber, where it's like, you're a horrible shot.
Wow. But he did manage to hit four people, because it was a very... and he did manage to hit the guy standing right next to FDR, the mayor of Miami, Anton Cermak, who later died.
Well, you always make my joy less then, because then I was happy because I thought it was funny, because it's like, whoa, I can't shoot straight.
But no, he did kill him. Died. Yeah, the mayor and the mayor was killed. Yeah.
It's still funny that he's 5 feet tall.
Yeah, it is still funny. I mean, that's why I put it in there.
I love short people. I love tall people. I love middle-sized people. I love them all.
Good cover, Kessler.
Thank you.
Well, upon being sentenced to death for the murder of the mayor, Giuseppe said, quote,
"You give me the electric chair. I no afraid of the chair. You one of a capolis. You is crook man too. Put me in the electric chair. I no care. I don't care."
No, I know you don't care. It is funny that we have a step stool so you can get up to the electric chair. So it's kind of a funny joke.
Oh, if I didn't have the poop, I would jump on top of that stool. And I would use my tiny little boot. And I would, chimney sweep you across your big old chin, you walrus.
No, I just think of, like, the leprechaun, his legs kicking, like, but then it is an electrocution. It's very sad.
Actually, on the day of his execution, they tried helping him up into the chair.
But he climbed not up. Helping me, I do.
He farts.
But he did climb up all by himself like a big boy.
Oh, good for him.
But what pissed him off most was that no photographers had showed up.
Oh.
He was so mad that no one really cared, even though he almost killed the president.
Yeah.
Yeah, about that he said, quote,
"Lousy capitalist, no picture. No one is here to take my picture. All the capitalists, they're lousy bunch of crooks."
Then, when the hood was pulled over his head, he yelled as his last words, quote,
"Viva Italia! Goodbye to all poor peoples everywhere! Go ahead, push the button!"
Cool.
And then they flipped the switch, because it's not a button.
It's not a button. He got that wrong. So he made a mistake as his last words.
Yeah,
okay.
Giuseppe got that wrong. Yeah, got that part wrong.
So he would probably take less voltage, though. Like, legitimately, right?
I don't think so. No,
oh, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. No, it's not like the rope where, you know, they have to measure height and weight to see how long the rope should be. I think it's a pretty uniform 2,000 volts each time.
Okay.
Well, eventually, the electric chair fell out of fashion. A more cynical mind might say that they just figured out a way to monetize execution by doing lethal injection instead. But either way, by the 80s, the chair was barely being used. But the fact it wasn't being used that much didn't stop John Lewis Evans from requesting it for his method of execution in Alabama in 1983. Only problem was, the last time the electric chair was used in Alabama was 1965.
Ooh.
But still, it was Evans' right to request it, and it was still on the list, so Alabama dusted off the Yellow Mama and strapped him in. Not surprisingly, though, the Yellow Mama was not quite as efficient as it had been 20 years earlier. Almost immediately, sparks and flames shot from the electrodes tied to Evans' left leg, and a cloud of gray smoke poured from his hood, filling the room with the smell of sizzling bacon. Even so, after that first jolt, he was still alive.
Oh my God. Maybe he made a mistake. I think he made a mistake.
He made a mistake because they did it again, and more smoke poured from his head. And still, he didn't die.
Shit.
It is like... it's like, oh my God, what's the not Fawlty Towers? It's the Monty Python.
Yeah.
When the guy cuts off both of his arms, cuts off his legs, and like, I'll bite you.
Yeah.
Just imagine being in that room watching this body jerk back and forth while smoke is pouring out of it and just being like, he wanted this.
Flames. Actual flames. Because everything was corroded. You know, like it'd been sitting in a room for 20 years. Mm. And I don't think they did any kind of test on it.
Oh,
I don't think they even like look at it. They're like, no, I bet he'll still be fine. Just put him in there. He'll die either way.
Just test it on some Spam or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because by then they didn't want to do it on dogs.
Yeah.
No, thank God.
Yeah, it wasn't until the third flip that Evans mercifully expired.
Good Lord.
But the state that really fucked up enough to finally end the electric chair era of American capital punishment was who else but Florida.
All right.
Oh, finally.
Coming in hot as always.
Over the course of 9 years, Florida fucked up three executions in spectacular spectacular fashion.
Mm.
In 1990, I guess trying to save a little money, officials used a synthetic sponge to conduct the electricity instead of a natural sponge on a prisoner named Jesse Tefero.
Hmm.
How much money are we wasting on the sponges? Honestly, how much could the difference have been?
They always
cut the dumbest thing, and they're like, that's fiscally responsible. We have a different kind of sponge.
I don't know why they used a they used a supermarket sponge. Like, it was just a...
You know, someone just went... A CEO just went to Duane Reade and got it, or Walgreens or whatever.
Oh, yeah, we need a sponge for this, right? Like, the instructions just say sponge. It's like, yeah, go to Walgreens and get a sponge. And they just popped it on his head.
Oh, my
God. Turns out, that's pretty important fucking detail. Because when they turned on the electricity, huge towers of orange and blue flame started to shoot from the top of the guy's head.
Oh, my God.
7 years later, the same thing happened with Pedro Medina, possibly because the sponge was either dry or it had been soaked in water instead of saline solution.
Ugh.
Others think the metal in the helmet might have been corroded as well. But the final nail in the coffin of the electric chair's popularity came in July 1999 when Alan Tiny Davis was strapped to the chair, and as he was being electrocuted, blood poured from his nose out of the bottom of the hood due to a poorly fitted electrode.
Okay.
God damn, it's like the fucking end of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's that shit, the fucking head melting.
Mm.
That's crazy looking. Yeah.
But even so, 9 states still offer the electric chair as an option for execution. And the last person in America to ride the lightning did so last December.
December 2018?
December 2018 was the last time a guy was executed in America for the electric chair.
It is like... Well, I always liked Mountain Dew, so I feel like maybe I will ride the lightning one more time. Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, reportedly his last words were, beats being on death row.
No, it... Yeah. Well, okay, I don't know.
Hey, it's a living. Like, it might as well just him just be like, hey, we gotta do, huh?
Yeah, when you have, like, the whatever emoji and then, like, the zoom in, like, that's not good. Yeah. I am completely against it. It needs to be outlawed. That's what I say as Benjamin Kissel.
But those words don't even compare to the last words of Edmund Zagorski, who'd been sent to the chair just a month before, in November of last year.
Polsky!
You got one, buddy.
His crime was luring 2 men to a hunting cabin under the guise of selling them weed. But instead of selling them weed, he just slit both their throats.
That's just so much worse than weed.
Yeah, that's not weed at all.
But right before the switch was pulled, Zagorski said only 2 words.
Let's rock.
You know, I do think that's really cool for last words, but at the same time, I don't think I wouldn't be like, this is where I'm going to be tough.
No, man, it's like, you're
exactly
in the electric chair,
you
and you just sit there and you go, let's rock!
Fuck yeah, dude. I would do that in a second. That's exactly what you got to do.
That was really interesting. The electric chair.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to thank listener Ben White for providing the book Electrocutions in Texas, 1924 to 1964, which featured the Santa Claus robbery story.
So is that book like 3 times the size of the Bible?
It's pretty...
It must be Electrocutions of Texas for their 30-year span.
It's pretty large.
I would assume it's pretty big.
It's a lot thicker than you think it'd be.
No, it's probably just as thick as I thought it would be. I picture you just like with your back breaking, holding it, carrying it to your office.
We've learned a lot today. We've learned that marketing is more important than skill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've learned to always use a natural sponge.
Always.
Always, yeah.
Well, and never use a pun before having sex.
There it is. Three takeaways from today's episode. That's why it is edutainment.
Well, technically, AC was the superior power for electrocuting a thing to death.
He was right.
I want to let you guys know about this benefit that's happening for a good friend of ours. Great research, everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a benefit happening on April 1st for our good friend Jason Sines on April 1st in New York City and in Henry Zebrowski's homeland of beautiful Los Angeles.
And it's not my homeland.
It is kind of your homeland. You've become...
Now it is.
I know. And then on the 3rd in Washington, D.C., there's going to be a show. So this is a benefit for Jason Sines. He was in a horrible accident, did not have health insurance for many, many weeks and months, and he was in the ICU. So you can just imagine how much that costs. But
he is effed right now. He is straight up effed.
He needs our help.
So we are trying to get him as much money as we can. To save his bullshit.
Yes, and there's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some prizes. It's not going to be sad times. It's going to be a really fun, fun comedy show. And Holden and I will be performing in New York. And
It's at Arlene's Grocery. Make sure you put the name. Yeah.
Yep, at Arlene's Grocery. And Henry, what's going on in L.A.?
It is happening Monday, April 1st at the Regent Theater at 8 p.m. We're going to have some great comedy. What I want to really hit is that this is not like a bummer show.
No.
This thing's fucking going to be very, very funny.
Yes, absolutely. So come on out for those shows in Washington, D.C. I think maybe we'll put it in the description of the episode today.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah perhaps. So anyway, let's go support a friend, and we can't wait to see y'all this upcoming week.
Yeah, we're at the Regent Theater. It's hosted by me, Big Boy Ed Larson, and Jackie Zabrowski. We're going to have a good time.
Absolutely. And Jackie, she promised me she's going to wear her best corset. So that'll be great and just drive you totally insane. Is there anything else that we have to talk about? We have some tour dates coming up. Berlin, Stockholm, get those tickets. They are going. Mm-hmm. They are going like hotcakes, although I don't know how many. I don't even know where that came from because I don't really like hotcakes or pancakes. I don't know where that phrase comes from.
I love pancakes.
I know, but were they really that popular where it had to be cliche where it's
there's
like it's going like
restaurant,
pancakes?
There's one of the most popular restaurants in America is devoted solely to pancakes.
No, to waffles.
Yes.
Waffles and pancakes.
It's an international restaurant.
Okay, I don't know. Oh, I see. Yes, IHOP, not Waffle House.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of tour dates coming up. In May, May 17th, we're coming to Kansas City. May 18th is Denver. May 19th is Salt Lake City.
Nice.
May 30th, that's Vancouver. May 31st is Seattle. June 1st, that's Portland. June 23rd, that's our Australian tour. June 23rd, going to Perth. The 24th is Adelaide. The 27th is Sydney. The 28th is Melbourne. And on the 29th, we got Brisbane.
Cannot wait.
Yeah. And then, later on the summer in July, we got Oakland on the 18th. We got San Diego on the 20th and Los Angeles on the 21st. And then in the fall time in September, we got Dublin on the 4th, Bristol the 6th, Edinburgh the 7th, Manchester the 10th, Birmingham the 11th, London the 13th, and the 14th. Oh. We added a second show there. We got Stockholm on the 16th. That's in Sweden.
Oh.
And Berlin, which is in Germany, on the 18th.
Very good. Man, and honestly, buy those tickets, Berlin. We are looking for, because they're smaller houses. We don't know how many of our boys and women we got out there, and we want to see your fucking faces.
Yeah.
We can't fucking wait. I'm so crazy psyched.
Yeah.
Last week was so much goddamn fun getting to meet people and do our new show.
So great.
I love our new show.
Yep.
This is what a crazy opportunity we're on, man. This is such a crazy ride.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And for those of you who don't know what our live show is, it's not just us going up and just yapping for an hour. It's not just us sitting behind a table and recording and doing a live podcast. Mm-mm. It's a full on show that we've written and practiced and performed that we love to tour around America.
Yep.
For all of you wonderful people.
Absolutely. It's a fun experience and you get to hang out with other listeners and hopefully have a great night. All right,
really
everyone.
Can't wait.
Yep. Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Henry and I, we interviewed Joe Bob Briggs today.
Yeah.
Or not today, this week on Side Stories. That's a good example of what our interview series is like. So I think you'll enjoy it.
And that was just a special get. So we had to put him on Side Stories.
Yeah, Joe Bob, of course.
He is fucking hilarious.
Oh, he's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
He's an icon.
Oh, yeah. I used to love Monster Vision when I was a kid. Watched it every Saturday night.
And little did you know, he won a Cable Ace Award. How many Cable Ace Awards do we have? We have a Webby.
None. Yeah. None.
I know. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gein.
Magustalations.
Hail me, and I'm about to take a shit sponsored by Springheel Jack Coffee.
Mr. Zabrowski, could you never mention our coffee name again? Our stock went down 30%.
The best part about that coffee is it makes my shit extra long.
Well, you've done it. You've done the opposite. Thank you.
Hail me!
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.